Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Nun Vav, and we're holding six lines from the top of the Omid, where the Gemara begins, Ein Sham, Lo Yimeitzar, V'lo Yichatzav Mai. What happens if there is no border and no Chatzav? Chatzav is also a form of border. We discussed it already yesterday, but the Gemara is going to discuss it once again today. It was a border made out of trees or shrubbery or grass that have a very, very important function, and that is that they do not allow for roots to go to the right or to the left, but rather the Kadosh Baruch Hu built into the chatzav, or the Gemara is going to call it chatzuva, a special identity that the roots just go straight down, not to the right and not to the left. And because of that, the Gemara is going to tell us, Yeshua ben Nun used the chatzav to act as the lines of demarcation between Shevet l'Shevet and between Ish l'Ish, between one person and the other. They specially use that Chatzav so that the Chatzav does not interfere with taking away the nutrients or the minerals from the right or from the left when just straight down. So what does the Gemara mean if there's no Meitzar and Chatzav Mayu? The Gabi, what halacha? So Rishvam tells us that if we go back just a couple of blot, we will remember the memra of Rabbi Yochanan. What did Rabbi Yochanan say? On the bottom of Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, all the way in the bottom of Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, the last two lines, V'Amar Rabasi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, the final two lines, Shtei Sodois U'Meitzer Echad Beinayim. What happens if you had two fields that belonged to a ger, who unfortunately passed away, leaving no yorshim, and therefore it's hefker, anybody can be zocher. So he left over two fields, and there was a meitzar, there was a border in between the fields. So now, how are you koine the fields? So says Rabbi Yochanan, hechzik ba'achas mehen liknoisa kona. If he makes a chazak in one of them, he is koine. In other words, a nual godar poretz koshu, Rafik Bapurti did something in one particular field, but he's only coined that one. Continues the Imran the Amid Beis. Liknos Oisav Yes Chaverta, if he tried through his act of Chazok to be coined of both, doesn't work. Oisakana Chaverta Leikon means that he's going to have to make a Noal Goder Porat Koshu, some other form of Cheskes Kinyan, in the second property, because there's a Meitzar running between the two properties. So you want to be kind of both? No problem. But you're going to have to make two actions, two kinyone chazaka. That's great. Says our Gemara, that's when there is a meitzar in between. What happens if there's no meitzar, there's no chatzav? What
it's
do you
one
do?
Large field. What's the point? If there's no meitzar, no chatzav, then it's a larger field. That's all. Oh, let's separate the
That's basically the Gemara's question is, when would you say that it constitutes one field or constitutes two fields? It could be, the Gemara doesn't say, that maybe there were standard lots, that the average field was exactly twice a base saw or a base car or whatever. This happens to be double the normal size of your standard field. Since there's no meitzah, can you just do a makush echad in one of the fields and then the whole thing is nikna? It could also be, for instance, that he would typically plant different plants. Then this one he would have wheat, and the other one he would grow tomatoes, or potatoes, or whatever. The point is, what constitutes one field, and what constitutes two fields? That's the Gemara Shaila. Zok the Gemara Pirish Remarinus Mishmoy. Remarinus explained it in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, the same Rabbi Yochanan we were just talking about, that Kosha Nikris Al Shemoy, anything that it has a singular name for both fields. That means a singular name. What does that mean? Rapapa de Karule be Gargusa de Planya. Oh, so the Rishvam explains Gargusa means a bor, meaning a water hole. There's one water hole that irrigates both fields. If you have two fields which are the beneficiaries of irrigation water from one water hole, then they're considered to be one field, one property. And it has to be nikris al-shemot, meaning that people that go buy that property, when Mr. Avraham Smith, the ger, was still alive, they would refer to it as a begargusa deploini, meaning, oh, this is the singular property that is fed by this singular waterhole, as opposed to saying that this is bnei or bite or whatever the plural form of begargusa is, maybe gargusi with a yud at the end, deploini. If they identify this as being one property, even though it physically it might appear to be two fields, but since both of them are being fed by the same waterhole, and that's the way people refer to it, then all you have to do is makush echad. Makush echad means one hoeing, one digging in one corner of the larger two fields. Since everybody calls it one field, then you're kind of the entire property. If you want to take a quick look at the Rishbam, about six lines into the wide lines, Pirushim Marinus Mishmoish Rabbi Yochanan, that's the same Rabbi Yochanan from Daphnun Gimel, says Rishbam, Kol Shenikris Al Shemai, Kol Shenikris Al Sode Echad, he probably takes out the word Al, Kol Shenikris Sode Echad, Beloshin Yochid, that people in the Gas, people passing by, people in the community, refer to it as one field, Beloshin Yochid Al Shemai, on the name of this individual, this ger, shekarin lo, the people say sode ploini. They don't say shein oimer sodois ploini konahak. They don't say sodois ploini. They say sode ploini. Then konahak koil b'makosh echad. You only need one digging in one spot, and that's koina everything. And the Gemara explains further. Beikar gusa de ploini kol hasode shehoi hager mashke mi boiroi. If the entire area of all of these fields, which Rishbam already says is one field, it was all had the benefit of the irrigation from a particular bar. You did one makush. Remember, we had the Gemara before. Makush means one digging, one hoeing. So therefore, bottom line, the answer to our question is, if it does have a meitzar, then you have to do a makush on each individual field. If there is no meitzar in between, and the two are back to back without any solid physical boundary between them, presumably on the books of the city or of the town, it does show them as separate lots with the meets and bounds, but there's nothing physical here. It's just one lot ends here, one lot begins there. If both of them are fed by the same waterhole, and people refer to it as the singular field of the ger fed by one waterhole, that means that it's considered to be one field. You only need to make one makush. If, on the other hand, people refer to it as the multiple fields that are supported by this waterhole, or if there are multiple waterholes, then each one of these fields would be independent on its own, and you'd have to make a separate makish to be koine each one. Now, we have assumed, or not that we've assumed, we've referred to this chatzav already today and previously. However, as you'll see in the Gemara right now, not everybody knew what a chatzav was. So Yosef Rav Acha bar Avya Kami de Rav Asi, Yosef Ekoma Mishmei de Rav Asi bar Chanina, chatzuva mafzik benichse hager. Just like a meitzar is mafsik, also a chatzuva is mafsik. And in fact, remember the Gemara which we just quoted back on Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, on Rav Asi, on Rav Yochanan, it just says shtei sodois umeitzar echad b'neim. It doesn't say meitzar or chatzov. Now we are introducing, according to this man, the Amar, I mean, we started off today's Gemara, ein shem li meitzar le chatzov. But apparently, where Rav Asi bar Chanina lived and was learning, the word chatzuv, chatzuva was not a given term, not a term that everybody understood. So the Gemara says, "My chatzuva was meinte chatzuva." And again, chatzuv and chatzuva are the same. Omer v'yud Omer Rav, sheboi tichem Yeshua liYisrael es ha'aretz. That Yeshua ben Nun used that, presumably not only Yeshua, but all those working with him in dividing up Eretz Yisrael to different nachlois, to different shvatim, even to different mishpachos within the same shevet, they would go and use that as the divider between one property and the other, and they specially used this chatzuva, which was a tree or some other type of brush or vegetation, which would not steal the nutrients from either side of the border where the chatzuva was. Yom Rav Yudah Marav. Since we started talking about Yeshua ben Nun, the Gemara goes off on a tangent just a little bit from Yudah Marav. The previous member was Yudah Marav. The Gemara repeats the Omer of Yudah Marav. Nocha Memra, Leimoni Yeshua Ela Ayores O'Imdois Al Hagvulet. For those of you that have learned Yeshua in the past, and even those of you that have not, you'll find that there are perhaps 5 or 10 brachim as you go further into Yeshua, which virtually every single pasuk enumerates various towns and various cities that were either conquered by or established by the Yidden as they came into Eretz Yisrael together with Yeshua ben Nun. And in fact, it can even get, you'll excuse me, somewhat monotonous, another town, another city. And the question is, why does Yeshua go into this great depth or length to go and enumerate all of these towns and cities? So the Gemara, that he only enumerated those that were oimdois al hagvulim, those that were on the borders. Now, what borders are we talking about? Parshat Pshat would be a border between one shevet and the other. However, Tosis points out that if you look through the psukim, you'll notice that there are a whole bunch you might think that these are the gvulim of Eretz Yisrael. In other words, between Eretz Yisrael and Egypt, or Eretz Yisrael and the Plishtim, or Eretz Yisrael and Ever HaYarden. In other words, the Gvulim means the Gvulim of Eretz Yisrael. Says Toi, says, no, we mean the Gvulim even between Kol Shevet V'Shevet. That has to be because there are a number of towns and cities which are listed, which we know are not on the borders of Eretz Yisrael, whether it's the north, the south, the east, the west. They're in the middle of Eretz Yisrael. So how does the Gemara say that they're on the Gvulim? Gvulim means the Gvul between one shevet and the other. And that's the third toisis from the top. Oim desal gvulim. Ein lefar shal gvulim shal Eretz Yisrael. The kamayores choshev shehem bi emtza Eretz Yisrael. They're in the middle of Eretz Yisrael. Ela bi gvulim dechol shevet v'shevet v'chuli. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, it's interesting. The Gemara uses especially money Yehoshua. Yehoshua counted them out. So Rishbam brings over here, this reminds us of the Gemara in the beginning of the first parak, where the Gemara enumerated who are the authors of the various Chav Dalit Sifrei Tanakh, other than, of course, the Chumash, which was written by the Rabbi Yishalelim himself, and Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that redacted it. So it says there, in Daf Yedalit, Yeshua Kosev Sifra. Yeshua wrote his own Sefer, until it said, V'yomas Shom Yeshua, and from that point on it was taken over, I believe, by Elazar, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, so that's what the Gemara talks about in the first parak. So that's why the Gemara is being very precise that it was Yeshua, that Mana, that counted out and listed all the Ayoris, not some other redactor or editor or compiler. It was Yeshua himself. Since we mentioned Rav Yehuda, and Barry's always fond to remind us Rav Yehuda was originally a Talmud of Rav and then of Shmuel. So until now we had two members, Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Rav. Now Omer Yehuda, Omer Shmuel. We have in the beginning of Parshas Veschanan, where Moshe Rabbeinu asked the Kodesh Baruch Hu, he beseeched him, let me see Eretz Oretz, the Tov Azois. He wanted to see the land of Eretz Israel. In other words, he wanted to go over into the land. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, I'm sorry you're not going over, but I'll let you see Eretz Israel from the top of a mountain. And in particular, at the end of Dvarim, in Vezois Abracha, the Torah there goes into a little bit of detail of what Moshe Rabbeinu was allowed to see. And if you want, the Rishbam quotes it, Kol Shereo Kodesh Baruch Hu LaMoshe, about halfway down the wide lines, says Rishbam, B'shas Misasai Kirachsiv, Vayareo Hashem Eskal Oretz Es HaGilod Ad Don. So whatever Moshe Rabbeinu saw from Gilad the Adon, all of that, says the Gemara, that's Chayiv B'Maiser. Anything outside of those borders is not Chayiv B'Maisa. And now you're thinking to yourself, well, what is outside those borders? Lafuki mai, lafuki keni, knizi v'kadmoini. Keni, knizi v'kadmoini are not included. Where is the keni, knizi, and the kadmoini? So if you happen to have a Bereishis Chumash or Chamisha Chumshei Torah handy, you'll see that in Bereishis, in Perek Tezvov, you have the Bris Ben Habsorim between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Avraham Avinu, and in Perek Tezvov, there are three psukim back to back, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avraham Avinu, you're going to get Esakeni, Vesaknizi, Vesakadmoini, Vesachiti, Vesaprizi, Vesarafoim, Vesamoiri, Vesaknani, Vesagigoshi, Vesayibusi. There are 10 umais which are listed in these three psukim. Of those 10 umais, we did not get Keni, Knizi, and Kadmoini. When I say we Klal Yisrael. Avraham Avinu's Mishpacha got all of these, the 10, the 7 that we, the Sheva Amamim that we have in Eretz Yisrael, the Kanani, the Chiti, the Chibi, the Prizi, etc. The Keni, Knizi, and Kadmoini were given away, 1 to the Edomites, and 2 of them, which was Ammon and Moav, were given to Lot. When are we going to get these 3? Says Rishbam, we're going to get it L'Asad Lovay when Mashiach will come, when Mashiach comes in Mir Hashem, which, and we're getting closer every day, Rabbi Isai, Mir Hashem, that we're going to have restored to us not only the Eretz Yisrael of the Shiva Alamim, but also the Keni, Knizi, and Kadmai. Now, since those 3 were not part of what Yeshua was able to be Kovesh and be Mechalik to Klal Yisrael, so those 3, there is no din of Meiser. And Rishbam says, how do I know that there is in fact a miut at all? Maybe when of Yehuda Mishmul, Kosher Eir, Kodesh Baruch Hu, everything is Chai B'Meis. How do you know Lafuke Mai, that it's coming to exclude something? So Rishbam says, because there's another Pasik, again in the Bris Ben Habsarim, Zoyisa Oretz Hashem Yishbati, this is the land that I promised to Avraham Avinu and our forefathers, etc. So it uses the Lashon of Zois. Says Rishbam, Zois Lemute Mai, Lemute, those the 3, the Keni, Knizi, and Kadmoni. So those are Potem and Amaiser, and Rishbam adds, number 1, L'Asad Lovay, when Mashiach comes, when we will begin again having all the mitzvahs hatluyos ba'aretz min ha'toira, trumas, maisers, and all the rest, even though at that time we will yarshin, keini, knizva, kanmoini, those will be pater min ha'maiser. Number 2, says Rishbam, and even if we were to be koivish them today, before Mashiach comes, also they'd be pater min ha'maiser. So these have a tour forever. That's the kavan of Yehuda Mishmuel, that only those 7 that we were koivish at that time. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, Tanya Reb Meir Omer. Now we're going to have here 3 Mandi Omer, Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda, and Reb Shimon, and each one of them is going to tell us what Keni, Knizi, and Kadmoni are in modern day terms when they were alive. Tanya Reb Meir Omer, Naftucha Arva'a Vishalma'a. Now, Naftucha we have in the Torah, Naftuchim Vespasrusim. So there was a place called Naftucha already in the times of the Torah. Arva presumably is related to Arabia or Arabs. Shalma Vesachnisht, that's Rameir. Behuda Imer Harseir Amoinu Moyov. Rashi back in Parshas Devorim or Parshas Veschanan, we just had it recently, said that those are the 3 that were excluded from the 10. In other words, those are the 3 of the Keni, Knizi, Kadmoini. Harseir went to Edoim. And then Amon and Moav, which are, of course, the children of Lot, those went to Bnei Lot. Part of them were conquered by Sichon Ve'og, and then they became part of, when Klal Yisrael took over Eivar Yarden, they took over some of Amon and Moav. But even today, the rest of Amon and Moav, in other words, the vast majority was not captured, and those are not Mechuyev in Trumas and Maisers. Continuing the Gemara, Reb Shimon Oimer, those are the Ardiscus, Asya v'Aspamya. Those are the names of the 3. And the English has names. For Asya, he says, for instance, is referring to what he calls Asia Minor. Not exactly sure what Asia Minor is, but I'm sure you, many of the people here in the audience, know more about these things than I do. Anyway, that's what he says is Asya. As far as Ardiscus, he says that's Damascus. Well, we all know where Damascus is. And Aspamia, the more brings from time to time. Yesh Om Aspamia is Spain. Others say, no, there was a region there in the Mediterranean. Regardless, so we have So the last Rishvam before the Mishnah says, Tanya Meir Oyma, you see about 8 lines from the bottom of the Amud, Kulu Hanitzanoi Beferish, the Knizi, the Keni, Knizi Vakanmoini Pligi. They are just arguing on the locations of the Keni, Kanmoini and Knizi. Knizi and Kanmoini. So that's why you have the different names of the Meir of Yehuda and Reb Shimon. Okay. On to the next Mishnah. So what is this all about? As we established already at the beginning of our parak, when we started Cheskes Sabbatim, if a person wants to prove his ownership of a property, for the first 3 years, hold on to your papers, hold on to your documents. After 3 years, lo mizdayer inish b'shtarei, person typically is no longer careful with his papers, and as long as you have 3 years under your belt that you have occupied and used that property, and you have eidim that can testify there too, then the property is yours. You no longer have to hold on to your paper. Okay, you have to have a chazak ashiyeshim maitana. You have to be able to say, I bought it from you, I yashin it from this one, that one, whatever it is. But that's the 3 year chazaka rule. Now says our Mishnah, what happens if you have two eidim that testified 3 years, and then a new peer of Edom Hamaziman came along and said, hey, how are you able to testify about 3 years of this property? Imanu Yisem, for the last 3 years you lived in Chicago. Others say you don't need the full 3 years, at least a day or two you lived in Chicago, since for purpose of the 3 years you have to have Miyoyim Liyoyim. And you'll remember that, for instance, when you have a residence, the Gemara said, who can testify to a residence that you were there 3 years straight? Says the Gemara, the Shechainim, the Shivavi. They know when you came and gone. They know every single morning. They hear the door slam at 6 o'clock in the morning. The person left to go to shul. And then they hear the door once again open and slam at 10 o'clock at night when the person's coming back from Bis Medrash after learning, or someone coming back from a long day at work. So they know coming and going. So presumably, as long as you have one day that they weren't there, and they said, we were there 3 years straight, day after day, we never moved. What do you mean never moved? I was together with you in Chicago last year. Don't you remember? You came for a bar mitzvah, or for a business show, or whatever it was. Anyway, so it turns out we have Edim Mazimim. Now the first pair of Edim are Edim Zomimim. Meshalmin lo yesakoil, they're going to have to go and pay for the entire value of the property, says the Rishbam. The entire value. See, if you look at the Rishbam, Nimtu Zoymimim, the Mishnah, Nimtu Zoymimim, 7 lines on the bottom, Shabo Beis, two other Edom came. The Omer Lehem, Hechor Isim Chazokazu, how can you say that you were there 3 years straight, day to day? Father Boy says, Man imano Yisim Amokaploini. At least part of that zman, you weren't even there. You were with us in Chicago. What's going on? You've got to pay for the whole thing. Bakal Mikal Kol, for the whole property that they wanted to take away. The Mefarshim talk about what about the payrois that were eaten during the 3 years. But the Rishbam doesn't address it. He only addresses the Mekarka. The Rishbam is a little bit difficult because he continues kirechsiv kasher zomim v'lo kasher osa. That's of course the pasuk. Says Rambam levad karka shaloi shiyitol min hamachzik, meaning that the rightful owner will get back his property. In addition to getting back his property, you also these two edim, these rishoim, these edim that said that we know it belongs to Yankel. Don't belong to Yankel. You weren't there. You were in Chicago. What are you talking this falsehood? They have to go and pay the value of the property. So therefore, basically, the person gets, in a sense, like kafel. Of course, there is no kafel by real estate, but he gets back the property and gets back the value of the property. What's difficult with this Rishbam? Because we know the famous rule, kasher zomim v'lo kasher osa, that if the victim of the false testimony, if chas v'sholom, he, for instance, already paid for the alleged purported false geneva or gezela, or for that matter, if he paid with his life, if Edom said that he was a rotzeach, and it turned out that that was not the case, then kasha zomu le kasha osa, then we do not inflict upon the two edim what they intended to do, because they didn't just intend, they actually, what their intentions materialized and were implemented in terms of the victim. So it's kasha zomu le kasha osa. And if you're telling me over here that the Beis Din issued a psak saying the property goes back, and that therefore the this Yankel who's been sitting in the property for the last 3 years, he is now, the Beis Din declares that he is not the owner, so then it's l'choira, a manifestation of kasher osa. That being the case, how can we mechayiv the Edom to go and pay for the amount, since we've taken the property away from him, given it back to the rightful owner? It sounds like we have a problem with the kasher zama v'lo kasher osa principle, that if you've already done it, in other words, if the victim has already paid, so to speak, if it was a gneiva, he's paid with his life if there was, chas v'sholem, a ratzicha and all the rest, so why, in this case, do you go and give him both back the karka, as well as give back the money? Once you give back the karka, we're done, and you shouldn't have to go and give back the money. Anyway, the Meforshim discussed this Rishbam as well. Anyway, I see Barry has a question. Shoot.
Yeah, I'm a little bit bothered by the fact that the witnesses have to be there 3 years continuously. Mm-hmm. We have a principle conscious of Yosef Benichnas.
Yeah.
If these witnesses went for a simcha,
right, right,
in another town, and people say, oh, how could you testify that you were there 2 years ago in the middle of the three-year period? Mm-hmm. You were at so-and-so's wedding with me.
Right.
That's not something. You know, Yosef Benichnas and conscious. Why is it daily witnessing necessary here for Cheskes Raya?
Back in the first Mishnah of Cheskes Sabbatim, you'll recall better than I, because you have such a wonderful memory. The Mishnah says, Cheskes Sabbatim, it's Sholoi Shonim Miyoyim Liyoyim. It's got to be 3 years every single day. Now, it doesn't mean nafka 24 hours a day. It means how people typically use their homes, that they're there the whole night, excuse me, and they come and they leave in the morning, come back in the afternoon, the evening, and things of that nature. Friends, the Gemara said, if you were talking about a store, then you would not have to go and have 3 years day to day, including the night. That was back in Chof Tes Amid Beis, second line from the top of Moide Rav Huna Bechanusa de Mechoiza Til Yimoma Avida Lelayla Leavida, that you don't have to bring rayas for night, because stores are typically closed at night. So residences are usually typically used 3 years by the occupants. And of course, if somebody goes away for a day or two, typically somebody might be left behind, a child, a sibling, or family member. And again, you'd have to look deeper into the Meforshim. Perhaps they would say that since it's the custom nowadays of people going away for a week or two for vacation, maybe that wouldn't interfere with the 3 years miyam liyam. But Parshat Pshat, I guess in the times of Chazal, you didn't have many people taking luxury tours of Monaco or Australia or whatever. People stayed home. And if they're there 3 years, day to day, and you have the Shechinim saying that, then you got an ironclad, wonderful chazaka. If you're missing any of that time, then you got to start raising all types of issues and questions. So here, at least some of the time, the Edom were not there in that location, whether it was a day or a month or a 3 months or whatever. So how could they go and testify? So we nailed them, we have Edom Azimim, and they have to pay the entire value of the property that they wished to take away from the rightful owner. Now that's if you're talking about one pair of Edom for all 3 years. What happens if you have Shnayim Barishoina, Shnayim Bishnia, Ushnayim Bishlishis? They had 3 years. Each year had two Edom. What's the din? And it's talking about that all three pair of Edom turned out to be Edom Zoymanim. Oy vay vay. So what do you do? Says the Mishnah, very simple. Mishal Shem Benayim. Assuming that the property is worth $300, and you had Edom, one pair of Edom for year one, one pair of Edom for year two, one pair of Edom for year three, and it turned out that all of them were Edom Zolomim, and they all have to pay Dmei of the entire Sada, so we'll take $300 and we'll split it up. Each pair has to pay $100. That's fair and square, and that's fine. Now the Mishnah tells us a chidush. What happens if you had relatives among the Edom? We all know that, of course, Achim and Kroivim are possibly Edis. But here we're talking about Shloisha Achim, the Echon Mitztarif Imohem. You have 3 years. Let's call the three brothers Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Sounds familiar, right? Those are the three of six sons of Yaakov and Leah. So Reuven and Shimon and Levi are three brothers. Reuven, together with Yankel, testified for year one that they were there, saw it 365 days in the year. Then you have Shimon, together with Yankel once again, testifying for year two. And then you have Levi once again testifying with Yankel for year three. So technically you only had four individuals, three of whom were brothers. Now the question is, since to establish the Chazaka you have to have 3 years, would you say, well, Kroivim apostle Yedis, and since in the mix over here I got three brothers, so L'choira, it should not be a successful Edus? Says the Mishnah, no. Hari Elu Sholish Idiois, we're going to look upon each year as being a separate package on its own. We're not going to go and package the 3 years together as one package. We're going to have three packages. Year one, year two, year three. And as long as in each separate year you had a different brother, in other words, you didn't have two brothers in 1 year, but you had the three brothers spread out over year one, year two, and year three, that is acceptable and that is kosher, no problem. The Tosis says that L'choira, this is a Dover Poshet, it shouldn't be any Chiddush to you. If you look at the second Tosis, Hare'el Gimel Idiois, Sha'arei Ho'eid, She'eid Barishoina, Hu Atzmai Yochel Lohoid Bishnia, V'lo Yamrin An Odom Korav Eitzel Atzmai. Oh, Zokter Cheshbam, let's look at Yankel, the one that's Mitztarif for 3 years. For that matter, let's look at any case where you have just two Edom for the entire 3 years. How can the same Edom go and testify in the next year or in the third year if you're going to consider this to be one big package? So then the first aid that was in year one and now he's going to testify in year two, it's the same person. Adam Karav Eitzel Atzmai. How can you go and use him again for the next year? The simon is because that's not a problem. Each year is separate on its own. Therefore, same thing applies to the brothers. It says the Rishbam, K'moiken, says Toises, K'moiken, Echov, or Achiv, Yochel Hoyda Bishnia. Reuven could have testified in year one and in year two. No problem with that. And he's a Karav Eitzel Atzmai, maybe just, you know, he was there for 2 years. So instead of Reuven being fit for 2 years, Reuven moved out and Shimon took over. Now Shimon is the aide for the second year. So all of that is straightforward. The Chiddush, however, continues the Mishnah, when it comes to testifying, we look upon them as being three separate peers of Edom, and they're not, no problem with Kroivim. However, when it comes to Hazama, then we look to all of them as one package. What difference does that make? Because back in Sanhedrin and in Sechtes Malkus, when we learned about Edom Zomim, we said that Eino Edom Nasim Zomim, now, Parsha Pshat, that's talking about a single type of Edus. We have, for instance, 10 Edom, and of the 10 Edom, two of them were Edom Zomim. Says the Gemara, you do not brand them Edom Zomim until all 10 Edom were Edom Zomim. So it's all one package, so to speak. So here too, says the Mishnah, that all four of them, the three brothers, and the other unrelated individual, all of them are one package for Hazama. Look at the last Rishbam in the Mishnah, that's a fourth line from the top. Again, if all three peers of Edom, all four Edom, were Edom Zamanim, Mishal Shem Beinayim, we're going to split it up. Each peer is going to take one third of the damages. They're going to not take, they will pay. The gam ein nizayim, you cannot have azama just on the first pair of Reuven and Yankel. It's got to be all four, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, together with Yankel on all 3 years. And then we have one package. So, the Gabi Kashrus and Edus, they're deemed to be like three separate pairs of Edim. The Gabi the Halacha Vazama, we look at them as being all one package together. And that's why Achizum Kulan, and they're all Mishalshim. Okay. Zoktimar, since our Mishnah assumed that you can have three separate Edison, the Mishnah doesn't stem like Rabbi Kiva, and this is the famous Rabbi Kiva that we're going to learn momentarily about Dover Veloy Chatzi Dover. Zoktimar, Tesani will end in a Bryce Omer Bioisi. Kisholach Abba Chalafta Eitzel Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri Lumay Toiro. The Amri La Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri Eitzel Abba Chalafta Lumay Toiro. This Gemara, as well as other Gemaras similar to this, is the proof that Stam Rabbi Yosi that we talk about is Rabbi Yosi ben Chalafta. And that's why the Braisa begins, Am Rabbi Yosi kishaholach Abba Chalafta. Rishbam says, it's like Ovi Chalafta. As you know, a person is not supposed to go and call his father or his mother by their names. That's why the minig, of course, is to say Daddy and Mommy, or Abba and Ima, or Tati and Mami, or whatever language you speak. You don't refer to them by name. And even after they pass away, you're not supposed to refer to them by name. If someone says, what was your father's name? So then you typically would add, let's say, Ovi Moiri, or you'd say Reb. You wouldn't just go and say, then blurt out the name. See, here too, Rabbi Yossi didn't say, Kishohalach Chalafta, but he said, Kishalach Abba, my father Chalafta. But adding Ovi Moiri before Chalafta, that permits him to refer to his father by name. And he was Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta. And the Rishbam says over here, Stam Rabbi Yossi throughout Shas is Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta. And when it's not Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta, the Mushal, it's usually Rabbi Yossi Haglili, who's somebody else entirely. Good. Anyway, so getting back to the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi said when his father Chalafta went to learn Torah in the Bismedish, the Yeshiva Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, or Fakert, the Amrila of Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, went to learn in the Bismedish, the Yeshiva Abba Chalafta Lumay Torah. In other words, they were contemporaries. Question is, who was a Talmud of the other? Omar Loi. So he told him the following. Harishi Och Lashon Rishoyin Bifnei Shnayim. Shniya Bifnei Shnayim. Shlishit Bifnei Shnayim Mahu. Or the case of our Mishnah. You had first year in front of two Edom, second in front of a second pair of Edom, third in front of a third pair of Edom. Are they mitzarif? Yes or no? Amala, yo, harizu chazaka, dotachun to the Mishnah, that it is a good chazaka. And our Mishnah added, if it turns out they're Edom Zamamim, they're all going to have to pay together. Good. Amala, afani oymerkein. I agree with you. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri and Abba Chalafta are talking, and one says to the other, it's good chazak, and the other one says, I agree. However, Rabbi Kiva respectfully disagrees. So Rabbi Kiva says, it says in the Pasuk, Lo yokim eit echad be'ish, l'chol ovin l'chol chatas, b'chol eit, b'chol cheta sheyechta, al pi shnei eidim, oy al pi shloish eidim, yokim dovar. Darshanimar dovar, v'loy chatsi dovar. The eidim have to say, a whole Edis, and Nishka Halba Edis. It's got to be on the entire. So therefore the Gemara feels that according to Rabbi Kiva, if you only have two Edim on 1 year, two Edim on a second, two Edim on a third, each one is only saying a Chatzi Dover. Really everyone is only saying a Shlish Dover. But we're just quoting the Lashon Gemara of Chatzi Dover. So Gemara concludes, our Mishnah is Deloi Kerev Akiva. Now this Drasha of Dover Lechatzi Dover, the Gemara assumes is held by everyone. So Rabbanon, the Rabbanon that disagree, who are those Rabbanon? We don't know all the Rabbanon, but we certainly know at least Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and Abba Chalafta, and presumably Rabbi Yossi, that they all hold differently than Rabbi Akiva, and they hold like our Mishnah, that Harizu Chazaka, that you are mitzvah of the 3 years, by the three peers of Edom, as Edis for 3 years. So what do they do with his drasha? The Gemara could have said that they don't hold of the drasha, but the Gemara apparently had a Masoida that everybody agrees to Dover v'lechatzi Dover. So where do they use that drasha for? So Timar Ilayma Lamuti Echad Oimer Achas Bigaba Viachad Oimer Achas Bikreisa Hai Chatzi Dover Vachatzi Eidusi. Or the Bach takes out the Vav and says Hai Chatzi Dover Chatzi Eidusi. Now what is this all about? This is talking about a girl who's about to leave the threshold of being a Ktana and now becoming a Gedoyla, or at least a Na'ara. And as we know, how do we know when a girl is a Na'ara? By the fact that she has Shtei Saris. Okay, now there could be major, major differences. What happens if Chas V'Sholem, this girl is accused of burglary? She's Chas V'Sholem accused of murder. She's accused of any type of Isur. Is she a Ktana, and then she would be Potter? Or is she a Gedoyla, and then she would be Chayev? So how do you prove whether or not she has turned to the age of a Na'ara? Okay, see whether you have two Eidim that she has Shtei Saris. Shtei Saris, of course, are two pubic hairs. So now the question is, what's the definition of Dovah Lechatzida? Ilem Lamuti Echad Oimer. You have two Eidim come in, Yankel and Beryl. Yankel says, I saw that she had a hair, Bigabba, in the back. V'Echad Oimer, I saw Achas Bekreisa, in the front. Rishbam says, Bekreisa means Be'oisa Mokan. Normally a keres means a stomach. We don't mean the stomach, we mean the mokum down below, ba'isa mokum. Presumably Gaba is also somewhere close to the back, to the bottom. Anyway, so you have one aid. Yankel says, I saw she has a sa'ara in front. You have Beryl that says, I saw one big Gaba in the back. Question is, are these two mitzdarif? And the answer is no. We do not have aidus to convert her from a Ktana to a Na'ara. This is insufficient. So l'choyer, that's the Dover l'chatzi Dover. Says Yomar, no. That's not a Chatzi Dover. That's a Chatzi Eidus. Because if we wanted to establish that she's a Na'ara, you have to have two Eidim on Shtei Saras. You only have one Eid on one Sara, and you have one Eid on the other Sara. So that's not a problem of Chatzi Dover. That's a problem of Chatzi Eidus. You don't even have a full Eidus to aid them about two Saras. El Lamute Shnaim Oimim Achas Begabo Shnaim Oimim Achas Bekreisa. Oh, that's the case. Two say we saw a one Sara on the back. Two say that we saw one Sara in the front. And Rishbam says it's talking at the same time. The two in the front could have walked to the back, and the two in the back could have walked to the front, but they chose not to do so. So we know for sure, based on these four Eidim, that she had Shtei Sa'arois. However, we did not have two Eidim on all four, not all four, on all two Sa'aras. We only had two Eidim on one Sa'ara, and we had two Eidim on the other Sa'ara. Says Rabbanan, that's a problem of Dovol Chatzi Dovol. It's not a problem of Chatzi Eidus. We have established to the best of knowledge, to the aid, to the Bezdin, that in fact this young lady is already a Na'ara because she has Shtei Saris. And we have two Eidim. However, because of the Miut of Dovah Lechatzi Dover, we're saying that each pair of Eidim has only said half testimony, one pair on the Gaba, one pair on the Grace, and they are not Mitzdarif, say the Rabbanon. And that's what he used Dovah Lechatzi Dover. So now, before we continue on, there's one obvious question. Why Manishtana, why is this different than the 3 years of our Mishnah? Just like you're saying, when you have two Eidim on one Gaba, two Eidim on one Sara, Kresa, the two are not Mitzdarif, then why two Eidim on year one, two Eidim on year two Eidim on year three? Why are they Mitzdarif? After all, each one is only saying a chatzi davar, actually only a shlish davar. Why in the Mishnah is a mitzdarif according to Rabbanan? Why by the Na'ara do we say it's not mitzdarif? Anyway, all the Rishonim discuss that. The Rishbam says a beautiful, beautiful svara, and he says that the limud of davar v'le chatzi davar tells you, Eidim, see the maximum possible. If you see anything less than the maximum, then you're only seeing a chatzi davar. Says Rishbam, at the time that this young lady had the two saris, there were those both of them were present simultaneously. And so therefore, each pair of Edom could have, would have, should have looked at both sides, seen the one big Kreisa, seen the one big Gavva. They could have, and they didn't. That's a Dovah v'lechatzidah. Masha'en Gein says the Rishban, in terms of the 3 years, during year number one, there was no possibility of those Edom seeing what's going to happen in year two or year three. At the present, they saw the maximum. During that 1 year, they saw the entire year, from day one till day 354 or 365. They saw everything. So you can't say, ooh, you only saw Chatzi Dover. I did the maximum. I couldn't do anything more than I did. Mashenkin Legabi the Saris, they could have done more. They could have seen both ends, and therefore, since they didn't, that's called a Chatzidaber. That's the pshat of the Rishban. The Tosis has a different pshat, and Tosis says that the Nafkimina is there a Chashivus on the Edus that was said only on partial Edus? Meaning, in the case of the young lady, where one pair of Edom saw, I saw one Sarah Begaba. Let's assume that there were no Edom on the Kreisa, only on one Sarah. Does that have any halachic ramification? And the answer is no. Why? Because until now she was a Ktana. We only have Edus on one Sarah. Nothing has changed. She remains a Ktana until you get two Edus on two Sarahs. So therefore, each one is Mamish HaChatzidav. Masha'enken, if you have two Edom on 1 year, then it is a full-fledged Edus. What would be the full-fledged Edus? What happens if subsequently we discover that, in fact, this occupant has been occupying this property illegally, and the owner gets the property back and says, Chevra, we have two Edom that you ate Peiris for a year. He's going to have to go and pay the Peiris. So therefore, two Edom on 1 year have potential halachic ramifications. Like we just discussed, that he'd have to go and refund the payers that he ate during that 1 year. By changing him with one Sarah, no ramifications whatsoever. It's just a here over there and a here over there, but it is no halachic significance. Vayta zokimar, Om Rav Yehuda, Echar Oymer Ochle Chitav, Echar Oymer Ochle Sa'oyrem Harizu Chazakam. You have two Edom altogether, and let's assume they're talking about all 3 years, and one says 3 years of Chitim, one says 3 years of Sa'oyim. Now, as you'll see in the Gemara, there's going to be a slight misconception as to what Rav Yehuda was talking about. Are we talking about simultaneous, that one says for 3 years Chitim, and the other one says Sa'oyim, or are we talking about a rotation? And you'll see what we mean as we go through the Gemara. Maskel Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman assumes that Rav Yehuda is not talking about that the two Edom, Reuven and Shimon, one says 3 years straight, Tavshin Pei Aleph, Tavshin Pei Beis, Tavshin Pei Gimel, 3 years straight, this person produced Chitim in the property. And that Shimon said the same years, Pei Aleph, Pei Beis, Pei Gimel, he produced Sa'oyrim in the property. Because how could that be Mitztarif? If anything, they're Edom HaMakchishim Ze'ezeh. One says wheat, the other says barley. It's literally apples and oranges. Or To'an Lo'i Bechitim V'hoi Lo'i Bechitim. And therefore, two different things. That cannot be. So what did Rav Yehuda mean? So Rav Nachman assumed that he meant that person Reuven said, I saw years 1, 3, and 5, Achbais, Tavshin Ayin Ches, and Tavshin Pei Beis, there were Chitim there. And Shimon said, I wasn't there for the 3 years of Chitim, but I was there in years 2, 4, and 6, and Tavshin Pei Ayin Tes, and Pei Aleph, and Pei Gimel. I saw 3 years of Sa'oyim. And Rishbam says that was the custom at the time. And I'm not in agriculture. Shlomo usually fills us in on the agricultural norms. But apparently, even today, since you don't want to extract all of the nutrients and all the minerals from a property, there is a rotation. So 1 year you do chitim, the next year you do soirim. Next year chitim, next year soirim, next year chitim, next year soirim. And therefore, that's what Rav Nachman assumed that Rav Yehuda was saying. That Reuven was testifying that in year 1, 3, and 5, chitim, and Shimon was saying in years 2, 4, and 6, soirim. So therefore, it must go Rav Nachman. I don't understand how that works. Forgetting about chitim and soirim. Let's assume we're talking about tomatoes or potatoes. And one person said, year 1, 3, and 5, I was there, I saw the tomatoes. And the other person said, 2, 4, 6, I saw the tomatoes. So they're both talking about the same thing. You don't have to switch from chitim to soirim. But there were three non-consecutive years. He says 1, 3, and 5. He says 2, 4, and 6. Hachanami, you're going to tell me, have your chazaka? Avadanisht. You have to have 2 eidim per year. You can't go and have 6 years. 1 eid on 1, 3, and 5, and the other 8 on 2, 4, and 6. It doesn't make any sense. So madach, that if they're all talking about the same tomatoes, then certainly if one is saying chitim, the other saying sa'irim, that should also not add up. And therefore, Omer of Yehuda, I'm sorry, Rav Nachman, I should have explained myself. Hachi Hasha, what I meant to say is, in your case that you're asking about 1, 3, 5, and 2, 4, and 6, Hosam b'shotu de kamasin mar le kohat masin mar. During the year that Reuven is saying Eidus, Shimon is not saying Eidus. The year that Shimon is saying Eidus, Reuven is not saying Eidus. In other words, we're talking about 6 years. Each one is talking about 3 different years. He's 1, 3, and 5, and he's 2, 4, and 6. So of course, I agree with you, Rav Nachman, they're not mitzdarif. However, hacha, what I am talking is travayu. Both Reuven and Shimon are talking, they're saying for each year, not 1, 3, 5, 2, 4, 6, but 1, 2, and 3. This Eid is saying he was there for the full 3 years eating chitim, and the other one says he was there for the full 3 years with soirim. We don't mean eating, of course, we mean that he produced chitim 3 years in a row, and the other one said soirim 3 years in a row. So what are you going to say? How can these possibly mitzaref? They're edim hamachishem ze ez ze. So zimora ma'ikle meimer bechit l'sari lavadatayu de inchi. The difference between wheat and barley, that doesn't really occur to people. Now, what does it mean it doesn't occur to people? Of course, anybody that's a farmer and anybody that knows anything about grain knows that there are differences between wheat and barley. It goes without saying. However, these edim that are being made, they're not here to go and talk about minutiae. They're talking about the big picture, so to speak. And the big picture is, yes, we saw for 3 years straight that Yankel Smith was tilling the soil, irrigating, fertilizing, growing, planting, harvesting grain. Which grain was it? Says Reuven, it was wheat. Says Shimon, it was barley. Meaning that they didn't necessarily go on the field itself. They would pass by on the road and they would see Rijbam Koma, they would see standing grain. They didn't examine it under a telescope or under a microscope. They just saw grain. So one said, yeah, it was wheat. The other one said, barley. If you look at the final Rijbam in the bottom of the Amud, Ben Chit Vasari Lava Tatayu De Inchi, last line, Ein Mivinam Yofa Bein Komas Chitim LeKomas Oirim. They don't understand, or at least they're not Mevarer clearly which one it was. Was the chitim and soirim, after all, they're not customers to buy the wheat and the barley. They are just, you know, disinterested witnesses passing by on a regular basis telling, yeah, it was kamas. And also bear in mind that 9 out of 10, you don't have the kama. You only have the kama the very final couple of weeks before it's harvested. Throughout the year, it's just a bunch of mush, fertilizer on top of your property, which probably has a wonderful smell, etc. And, you know, so you put the seeds in, can't tell the difference between one seed and the other. So it's only at the very tail end by the harvest season. So he didn't notice whether those wheat or barley wheat. That's what Rabbi Yehuda meant. That even though one said in 3 consecutive years, 1, 2, and 3, there were chitim, and the other one said during those same 3 years there were sa'irim, do not say that these two, edim or machishim zezeh, they don't argue with one another, they complement each other, and that would be sufficient for a chazakah. Thank you all for listening again. A heitzig mazel tov to David.